Well, good evening, everyone. I wonder how many people have journeyed to be in Southampton for Christmas this year. Anybody journeyed? Oh, yeah, a few of you. Yeah, well, welcome to Southampton anyway, and I hope your Christmas is fantastic. When I was a kid, every other year, we would make a journey at Christmas. And we would travel as a family, my mum, dad and brother, to Ipswich, where my Auntie Dolly and Uncle Bill lived. And, well, we would get to eat Auntie Dolly's special Christmas goulash on Christmas Eve. And when we used to make that car journey up to Ipswich, my brother and I used to sit in the car and fight and argue and complain about the radio station, the temperature in the car, about which of us two brothers had crossed the imaginary line on the back seat. And then we would ask Mum and Dad thousands of times the same question every kid asks their parents on a car journey. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Absolutely. And I guess the question that I'm wondering for you this Christmas is, are you there yet? Have you made your own journey to Christmas? Because you see, Christmas has always been about two journeys. It's always been about God's journey to you, and we've heard all sorts of ways in which that's been expressed this evening. And secondly, about your journey to God. One of the Christmas carols we often sing is, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." That last download finished with the words, "an eternal King, a Messiah." Doesn't seem like a very royal welcome for a Messiah King, does it, when you read the Christmas story? Because when God made his journey to you, everything about this miracle birth was inappropriate. Joseph and Mary were from a despised town called Nazareth. Then they had this 70-mile journey to Bethlehem. A young girl, heavily pregnant, and the journey through the Judean desert would have been hot and wet during the day and freezing cold at night. Unpaved, hilly trails were nothing compared with the terrifying threat of the forested valley of the Jordanian River. Lions and bears lived in those woods, and travellers had to fend off wild boars. So inappropriate for a king, for a Messiah's imminent arrival. And when they get there, there's no VIP suite available at the inn. Have you ever been travelling and been unable to find a room for the night? And you're frustrated. Guy walked into a hotel one night, large hotel, and the receptionist said, "Sorry, we haven't any room." And the guy said, "Well, let me ask you a question. If the Queen walked in here this evening and wanted a room, would you find her a room?" And the receptionist said, "Well, sir, to be honest with you, yes, if the Queen walked in here, we would find her a room." And the guy said, "Well, I've got some fantastic news for you. I know for a fact that the Queen is not coming here this evening, so I'll take her room, thank you." Jesus was born in a stable. And we sing about it as if it's this picturesque, romantic, scenic moment with the cattle lowing. The truth is, there's a cow in the delivery room. And he's born to an unwed teenager. And there was no doctor to deliver this little baby, just the rough, calloused hands of a carpenter. And everything about God's journey to you is inappropriate and surprising, miraculous even. And perhaps the most inappropriate thing was that the first birth announcement was sent to the shepherds. We've heard about that this evening. And if you'd been a religious scholar at the time and studied the prophecies of the coming Messiah, it would have been unthinkable that the Messiah's miracle birth would be announced to the shepherds. Because the shepherds were like the local band of thieves and brigands. And they lived out in the fields most of the year, and their entire life was spent living under the sky. They were smelly and they were dirty, and yet they received the first announcement that the Messiah had been born. A saviour had been born. And it raises the question, why? Why the shepherds? Well, I think the answer is in the reading that we had from Luke chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, "The angel said to these shepherds, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for,' here it is, all the people." All the people. Notice the birth of the Messiah, God's journey to you, wasn't for a select few. It was for all the people. It was for everybody. It was Mae West who said, "I used to be Snow White, but I drifted." Well, we're all like that, aren't we? Imperfect, wayward, foul up ridden people. And God's journey to earth was not just for those of us who are well mannered and well behaved, but for all the people. Not just for those of us who have great marriages and thriving families and wonderful careers, but for all the people. Not just for those with good credit scores and good grades in school, but for all the people. At Christmas, God was making a huge announcement. The miracle of Christmas is for everyone. God was making this unmistakable statement that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you look like or where you're from, Christmas is for you. Christmas is for everybody. It's for all the people. That's the miracle of Christmas. And sometimes, you know, there are products that are advertised today that you think should be for all the people. But they advertise them like they are just for a select few, only those who have a certain amount of money. For instance, here's one here. Margaret, can we have the slide up, please? This is a water bottling company that has a product called Bling H2O. It's just water. And you'd think it would be for all the people, but listen to their advertisement. "More than a pretty taste, Bling H2O is pop culture in a bottle. It's not for everyone, just for those with bling. Ordinary bottled water is just for ordinary people. But for those who have a taste for the finer things, Bling H2O may be the perfect thirst quencher." Bottles of Bling H2O start at £32 and go all the way up to £400. For water. Thanks, Margaret. Water should be for everybody, shouldn't it? And this company comes along and says, "Oh, no, 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 no. This is just for a select few." And you know, for those who would do that with Jesus, Jesus comes along and says, "Oh, no, 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 no. Christmas is for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." It's for wise kings who come from the east bearing extravagant gifts. And it's also for those ragtag shepherds who had very little to give. And Christmas is for everybody. And at Christmas, God was making an unmistakable statement. He was saying, "I'm going to leave the high setting of heaven and I'm going to come down to the lowest low, the inappropriateness of a manger in a stable." And in so doing, he was communicating, "I'll go to any distance, I'll pay any price, I'll make any sacrifice, I will endure any pain in order to love you." Because Christmas is for everybody. And that's the miracle of the Messiah. It's for you who are young. It's for you who are old. It's for you who live on family credit. It's for you who are single, wishing you were married. It's for you who are married and wishing you were single. It's for you who like rock music, country music, rap music. It's for you who are black, white, Asian. It's for you who are atheist. It's for you who are agnostic. It's for the addicts in the recovery centres, for the cancer patients in hospital. It's for the inmates who'll spend another Christmas behind bars. It's for everybody. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22, "Come, whoever is thirsty, let him come, whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." This is the miracle of the Messiah. Christmas is for everyone. And Christmas, as I said, is about two journeys: God's journey to you and your journey to God. And when the announcement was made to the shepherds that a saviour had been born, their initial reaction was not joy. The Bible says they were terrified. Fear. Those shepherds were utterly terrified. The Bible says that. Who wouldn't be? An angel showing up, telling you this news, and then there's this choir of thousands of angels in the sky in Dolby surround sound, singing glory to God in the highest. One of the things I appreciate about these shepherds is that after they got over their initial fear, they said, "Let's go and see this thing that has happened. Let's go and investigate this for ourselves." And spiritual journeys always begin with exploration. And skeptics will sometimes say, "Well, come on, virgin birth? God in the flesh? I mean, the whole Christmas story, it's magical. It's folklore." But I don't think I could ever really believe that. Friends, you wouldn't just write off Christmas as a magical tale, would you? Without doing your own exploration like the shepherds, where you go and see. The Bible says that all those who diligently seek God will find him when they seek him with all their heart. It's a promise God makes. God made a journey to you at Christmas. And maybe God is speaking to you this Christmas Eve about your journey to him. And it's not a journey of 70 miles like Nazareth to Bethlehem, or a journey the shepherds took of maybe a mile or two from the fields to the stable. It's a journey of about 18 inches, just 18 inches away of experiencing Christmas in its wholeness, seeing through the magic and experiencing the miracle. The miracle gift of the Messiah, Jesus, in your life. 18 inches away from experiencing grace and forgiveness for your past, and power and purpose and peace in your present, and a fantastic destiny for your future. 18 inches, why do you say that? Well, the last 18 inches in the journey to Christmas is the distance between your head to your heart. It's the difference between believing something intellectually in your mind and moving it down here to the heart of your soul. A deep conviction, a deep faith that moves your soul. And the way that you travel that last 18 inches is with two words, two very powerful words that can change everything. You know how two words can change everything, don't you? If you're standing up at a wedding and two words, "I do," changes everything. If you're in a courtroom, two words, "not guilty," changes everything. If you haven't eaten today and you're starving, two words, "Pizza Express," changes everything. If you want to see through the magic and experience the miracle of Christmas, if you want to experience the love of the God who sent his Son as the Messiah into this world to live a sinless life, to die for all of your sins and failure and foul-ups on a cross as a substitute for our failure, and then who was buried and then rose from the dead. If you want to experience that, if you want to travel those 18 inches, it takes these two words. I believe. I believe. I believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Saviour of the world, the Son of God. Friends, it's Christmas Day. But can you see through the magic and see and experience the miraculous? Are you there yet?